The fifth of the seven last words of Jesus is written in John chapter 19, verse 28. And it says, I am thirsty. The fourth and fifth statements of Jesus were focused on himself, what he felt on the cross. And Jesus expressed the feelings of needs. He might have been thinking aloud of what he was experiencing when he was getting near his death on the cross. Experts suggest that to express in words of an emotional experience, whether pleasant or unpleasant, it would add some kind of relief. For example, when a child says, I am thirsty, his mother may automatically provide for a drink. But if a child remains silent, even if he is thirsty, he may expect but may not get much needed help. Jesus also was also helpless at the cross. He needed help because both arms and feet were nailed on the cross. His experience of human need ignited an unending debate about his humanity and divinity. Scholars suggest that thirst is commonly felt when a person has lost too much blood. After Jesus lost much blood, he was thirsty. Interestingly, theologians highly exert that Jesus' feelings of thirst proves that Jesus is 100% man, or 100% human, when he died on the cross. Such view would preclude and would preempt any assumption that since Jesus is the Son of God, he did not really die on the cross. His feeling of thirst upholds the doctrine of Christ's humanity. To believe in Christ is to believe that every account of death, of the death of Jesus, is true. A little doubt about Jesus' death and resurrection may shake and weaken our faith. Our faith in God fails to mature when doubt lingers in our mind. When Jesus said he was thirsty, he identified himself with human needs. He identified with human sufferings, struggles, and trials. He exemplified on the cross that human sufferings, including death, can never separate us from the love of God. Now, this kind of taking the words out of my sister's mouth hit me as well. For everyone here, have you felt suffering of any kind? Now, for all of us who do, may we find joy, peace, and solace in Christ, that he himself knows what we are feeling and knows what we are going through, because he himself experienced suffering and death on the cross for our own sake. Maybe the sufferings that we're doing is because it's our fault. The suffering that Jesus experienced is because of our own fault. Let's be thankful to God for that. When Jesus said he was thirsty, he identified himself with human needs. We can trust Christ as the Son of God. He is God, but he is also human. Yet he understands it perfectly when we pray for his help. He knows what we need as humans, physical, material, and spiritual, because he became human and he was in need. Thirsty feeling should prompt us to plea for the living water that would satisfy our thirst. We should pray as if we are thirsty for water when we ask God for help. The level or the intensity of our prayer exhibits how much we thirst for God's help. Christ can satisfy every spiritual and physical need. He invites in John 7:37-39, let anyone who is thirsty come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as scripture has said, Rivers of living water will flow from within them. By this he meant that the Spirit whom those who believed in him were later to receive. Up to that time, the Spirit had not been given, since Jesus had not yet been glorified. Let's pray. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank you, because I am very sure that you would understand my human needs. Lord, help me to humble myself, to come to you more often, to plead for your help, and to satisfy my spiritual thirst. Help me to pray as if I am thirsty for your answer. Help me to anticipate your answers each time I pray. Now for the sixth of the seven last words of Jesus on the cross. It says in John 19:30, "It is finished." The Lord Jesus has declared that the penalty of every single sin has already been paid for. When he said, "It is finished," the original word is tetelestai, which literally means it's paid in full. In other words, our sin is completely paid for. Jesus declared that all of the sins of humanity, from Adam to the last sinner in the future, were already completely punished on the cross. One may ask, if Jesus was already punished for all of our sins, then does that mean that anyone can enter heaven even if they do not believe? They don't need to be punished anymore, right? Another question is, why is it then that there are still many people who are acting or living as if they were not yet freed from the slavery of sin? Now imagine this. If someone offers a round-trip airplane ticket for each of us to go to Jerusalem, does that mean that we can enter Jerusalem assuming that we all have the needed documents, i.e. the visa or passport and everything else? The ticket has been paid for, but if you do not want to accept the ticket, or if you do not want to go to the airport, or don't go to the airport, or don't go to the airplane, then you will stay where you are, thinking and believing that you have reached Jerusalem, when in the physical sense, you actually did not. Jesus has paid for our ticket to enter heaven, but many would not believe and they would hesitate to accept it because they prefer to stay where they are. Jesus died and shed blood as ransom payment and payment for our sin. Freedom from penalty of sin and entering heaven is possible only when we believe Jesus and let him be our master. I think for us, the only way we could recognize that Jesus is our master is for us to repent of our sin and to believe that he actually died on the cross for us. I know that's not the real cross, but if you just picture him nailed in that cross for you and me. It's one of those things where if I was him, I wouldn't have done it. I wouldn't have died for me. Knowing the type of wickedness I have in myself, knowing the type of person that I am, it's not worth it. But yet, he paid it in full. And one thing that is really encouraging and really awesome that when Jesus said it was finished, that we could think of the worst sin that we've ever done in our lives. And it's not too great for, it's not greater than what Jesus had done on the cross. He paid for that too. We can choose to be redeemed from the punishment of sin if we trust that Jesus has paid all the penalties for our sin, past, present, and future. We can never expect to have eternal life if sin continues to be our master. To have eternal life is to have Jesus in our life. And I mean real. It says in 1 John 5:11 to 12. Verse 11, and this is the testimony. God has given us eternal life, and this life is in His Son. Whoever has the Son has life. Whoever does not have the Son of God does not have life. Have you received the gift of eternal life or freedom from the slavery of sin? Are you now living a lifestyle indicating that you are freed from the slavery of sin? See, there's a difference there. One is we profess that we are freed from sin, and one is that we live a life that is freed from sin. Those are two different and very, very, very different things. One is actually repentant one lifestyle is actually repentant of the sinful lifestyle. One is just merely trying to hide it under the rug. I would encourage everyone here not to be empty professors that we have been freed from sin. Now take this time to rededicate your life to the Lord. Ask God for the forgiveness of your sins and seek the Lord's help to perform His lordship over your lives. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, forgive me of my sin. I dedicate my life to you. Be the Lord and Savior of my life now and forevermore. Let me live a life that would manifest your lordship over my life. Help me faithfully submit to your lordship day after day. Amen.